The year 1964 was more than the New York World's Fair and the Harlem Riot. It was also a year I discovered French. Eighth grade was my first exposure to studying the French language. Everyone in class had to take a French name. I don't remember my name, but I named two of my cats Antoine and Pierre, and a later cat, Madeleine. It was also my first exposure to the name Monique. My friend Cliff and I used to go to movies a lot that year. I was not a fan of the Beatles until I saw their movie Hard Day's Night. The first French movie that I saw was That Man from Rio, my first exposure to French actresses. The movie starred Jean-Paul Belmondo, who shortly thereafter made a movie with Peter Bergman. I don't remember him at all, only his co-star, Françoise Dorliac. Through a cookbook we discovered, Cliff and I began cooking French food. Probably never good enough to impress Mademoiselle Dorliac, but learning to make quiches and ratatouille in 64 is a skill I've retained and still make often. Also a dessert with raspberries and peaches. I wasn't exposed to French restaurant food for many years thereafter. The very first was anchovies on pizza at Expo 67 in Montreal. Worst pizza topping ever.
Pizzas. I mean, gardens. Thanks, Juggernaut, no Leviathan, no mix. Well,
this is George Tire Biter Camden N200R. I want to order pizza to go and no anchovies. What? Man, nobody will come up here at all.
My first trip to France was in 1980. We ate a lot of Asian food in Paris because the French restaurants close in August. I did discover croissants and had some very good quiches. A friend had made a wonderful coq au vin in 1973, and I really wanted to eat that in Paris, but it was not to be. My second trip to France was in 2002, more than just Paris. From Geneva, we went to Annecy with our Geneva-based friends. The food there is more Swiss German than French. Then we went to Paris, and I finally had a good French meal, albeit in a museum. A great piece of fish after a wonderful afternoon of art at the Impressionist-saturated Musée d'Orsay. Still not coq au vin. My friend Dexter Fong turned me on to the great French food available in New York City when I visited him and his wife in 2010. They also recommended I check out Vegas, where several of the best chefs in France had restaurants. It was my exposure to Vegas French food that inspired my dining on my recent trip to Paris. Unlike other French chefs, Guy Savoy had only two restaurants, the one I know in Vegas and another also bearing the chef's name in Paris. Apparently, it was the inspiration for the restaurant in the movie Ratatouille. I learned that Chief Savoy had taken over a restaurant near my hotel in the Saint-Michel district of Paris. Not a place for restaurants, way too touristy. But his place, Les Bouquinistes, was just as good as his place in Vegas, one of my favorite restaurants in that city. The first thing I actually ate in Paris in June was not long after my flight arrived. Shakespeare and Company now has a little vegetarian cafe next to its bookstore, which was next door to my hotel. I saw some Normandy cider on the menu, but they would only serve it to me if I ordered some food, so I ordered a quiche. The worst quiche I've ever tasted. I didn't know it was possible to make a quiche that bad. For dinner, I had a reservation at Les Bouquinistes, and once again returned to the level of cuisine I experienced in Vegas. The shrimp ravioli were as memorable as Mama Leone's ravioli from the 64 New York trip. The main course was called spicy tuna. Thankfully, it wasn't spicy at all. For my last meal in Paris a week later, I went back to Les Bouquinistes for the shrimp ravioli. I didn't have the tuna a second time because I'd had tuna for lunch, at a nearby little burger place called Shiso Burger, a great tuna burger with the wonderful Japanese herb shiso instead of lettuce. Both tuna dishes, the herb-wrapped tuna burger and the spicy tuna, were two of the best uses of tuna I've ever tasted, and I eat a lot of tuna.
My mommy bought some tuna in the store. Then she went and spilled it on the floor. They don't let her in there anymore, my mama.
There's some wonderful things have been happening down on Earth. You know, we've been up here. We just got the latest news report. A 200-pound tuna carcass fell on a man today. unfortunately, it knocked him down the hold. When they found him, he was in a kneeling position, and he could not move out of it. They had to lift him up in a winch. I know you're laughing, but it's
true. You saw those skis scissor first, once up, once down, and then he made an absolutely perfect landing. The tuna wasn't so good.
That's right. Sure was great for the Olympics, though, I must say.
My aunt tried to take a left tuna at the corner of 3rd and Clutter in Old New Los Angeles. One of those robot cops came up and pricked her with a tranquilizing pen, you know.
Was she on a pedal walk at the time? Or
yes,
was she
was. Yes, she was. She was on that, and she was on Valium. You know Valium?
Valium. Sure.
King of the Valium.
Are you listening to me, consumers on downers?
Yes, all you downer freaks, go to King of the Valium for downers of every description.
Remember, over 2 million downers are taken in Los Angeles every day.
I like about 4,000 of those and about 3,000 of those, and they're all black and white. I must be in the Kmart.
My June 2017 trip to France was more than just about food. My favorite painting is Joseph the Carpenter in the Louvre, which I saw in 1980. But its room was closed this trip, just as it had been in 2002. The Vermeers were gone too. I had thought the new Islamic art collection would enchant me, but I left the Louvre unenchanted. Even the Egyptian collection failed to intrigue me as much as it had on my two previous visits to the Louvre. My main reason to go to France was to see Mont Saint-Michel, which I finally did on Monday after a weekend in Paris. On Sunday, my second day in France, I visited Frank Gehry's Louis Vuitton Foundation, only the second Gehry building I've been to after the EMP in Seattle.
And stop in amazement before a great deconstructed architectural makeover.
Frank Gehry has ruined my building.
Where did he hide the fire plugs?
The whole thing looks like a fire plug.
So it looks like a fire plug. He climbs the 13 chain link steps to his workplace.
Time magazine listed 10 things everyone has to do in Paris, and one of them is have crepes at a Breton creperie called Brège. The Bretons call them galettes. They're square and brown, unlike the round, pale crepes I'm used to. The ham and cheese galette combined with the Breton cider was the best crepe I've ever eaten, at least until the following day when I had one just as good with, if possible, even better cider at Mère Poulard's restaurant inside Mont Saint-Michel. Poulard is famous for her omelets, but I went for the smoked salmon crepe and Poulard's own traditional cider, which tasted a bit like the best cup of tea I've ever had.
Well, we'll just have some tea, if you don't mind.
Put the miracle additive in your day. THC. Take home carnation.
Was the trip to France worth the prodigious expense just to see the Mont? It is spectacular to see, like the Louis Vuitton building, but there's really nothing worthwhile inside. Back in Paris on Tuesday, I visited the Arab World Institute, not far from my hotel. The interior architecture of the institute was just as spectacular as Mont Saint-Michel and the Gehry building. On my way back to my hotel, my street along the Seine was suddenly full of cops, and everyone was told to get off the streets. One English-speaking cop said there had been gunfire at Notre Dame, which is close to my hotel. She was seriously freaked out. A lot of cops ran by clutching machine guns.
You wouldn't know to look at him, would you, that this was the agent that busted up Machine Gun Kelly.
Well, what do you think? Okay, XYV, give you a report and split as quickly as possible. I want to bet.
I trailed that suspect down the street past that hotel.
Which hotel?
I wrote it down here somewhere.
All right, silly old thing. It's in your notebook.
The adult bookstore hotel. And he went upstairs, and I waited on a bench. I sat down, and I just waited until...
And then you came here.
I woke up and came right here. I think he's still there.
How long you been with the Bureau?
Let's see, 2 weeks now.
Just 2 weeks? Yeah. You're one of our longest and most loyal employees.
That I can remember.
That you can remember. those many long days that you can't remember
at all. Actually, I'm kidding, as you know, sir.
You ought to get a couple of dogs, you know. That's the way to keep fit.
Yes, you have dogs,
right.
Don't you?
That's right. Just, I got a couple of dogs, yeah.
Tell me about them.
Well, they ain't nothing. They got two of them. One's named Chocolate Cream. The other one's named Custard Pie. Just a couple of dogs I got. And they're the only ones that understand me, you know. The Nick, he don't understand me. I can't get my kicks off the Nick, so I get my kicks off the dog.
You'll kick back?
Kick back off the Nick's, right. Well, the Nick's has got a hex on the mex, as you know, right? So all the sex and the text, man, they left him. So I got confused and decided I'd just get it on with the dogs. We sit there. They drink. I don't, you know.
You're so hep.
I didn't learn what was happening until I got back to my hotel, and the hotel's Wi-Fi put me in touch with my wife, who was following the news on TV. Apparently, an Algerian man had attacked a cop with a hammer in front of Notre Dame and was shot by other cops. No more shots were fired after that. I had a reservation at a famous fish restaurant, but was afraid to leave my little area, so I ended up with the worst meal of the whole trip at a local place. I had no idea there was such a thing as bad-tasting shrimp before that meal. Thanks for the hideous bit of information, hammer-wielding terrorist.
You must remember this. I've got the candy keys. Bonjour, alors. I'm Chef André. And my cooking show today is dedicated to my little darlings out there who want to give up their cigarette habit but are afraid of putting on all that ugly weight, huh? Well, for you, le chef entre local way to break the cigarette habit. Now, to begin, sit down and smoke every cigarette you can find in the house all at once. But I want you to save your ash. You'll need it later. Now, separate the filters and dice them into a thick, brown, stringy, sticky fiber smash, like this. Now, take them and line the bottom of a deep, pie-shaped baking dish, shake in your ashes, and cover it copiously with a thick, creamy coating of his strawberry menthol shaving cream. Now, crown it off with your last stinking cigarette, like this. Some gourmet lighter fluid, the lighter the better, and into the micronite oven. It's ready. I wish you could see it, darling. And remember, my little dears, one small bite, and I guarantee you'll give up smoking forever and lose all that extra weight you've been carrying in your tum-tum. Pierre? Oh, I'd love to stuff a bird this evening. Home of marriage. Au revoir, baby.
Look for the French Chef on the front of 4-star French-style fast food franchises. There's one going up in your neighborhood right now.
I spent Wednesday and Thursday using my 2-day museum pass to its fullest. Back at the Musée d'Orsay, the fish was just as good as the fish I'd had there in 02. I had a dinner reservation at the hard-to-get-into restaurant at the Eiffel Tower called Le Jules Verne for 9 p.m. They eat late in Europe. The website seemed to indicate a jacket would be required, so I brought one in my suitcase from Vancouver. I don't mind as long as they don't ask me to wear a tie.
But men hold up half the sky. How do they get in on the bondage fun?
With ties. We have a monopoly on them. Tai Chi, Taiwan.
Thailand,
You invented tie-dyeing, didn't you?
It was the Tibetans. They refused to be tied to Beijing, so they died.
You really put the ow in haute couture.
The concierge suggested I looked like a classical actor. I feel the artifice of my situation, but it's an adventure. When I'm seated at a table overlooking the city, I'm asked if I would prefer the shrimps or the pigeon.
Pigeon rôti, la cuisse fondante, vert et blanc de blette.
I go with the shrimps. Would I care for a welcoming glass of champagne? I recall from Mex, his Vegas restaurant, that Ducasse makes or inspires very good cocktails, so I choose one that seems appropriate. La Belle Eiffel. It has passion fruit in it, usually a winner in cocktails. It's 9 o'clock, but still bright out. Paris spread out before me. I sip the superb drink. My bush is amused by the marinated sea bream with sorrel. Chewy, both strong and subtle. Really tastes of the sea. A friendly sea.
Dorade marinée à l'oseille.
The passion fruit champagne cocktail makes it even more refreshing. Next up.
Foie gras de canard confit, cerise et amandes fraîches.
Preserved a duck foie gras, cherry, fresh almond and flowers, paired with a 2015 Condreux Ruelle Midi Domaine Valais. A lot of edible, fragrant flowers. Rose most distinct. Far and away the best foie gras I've ever had, as well as the best use of flowers in cooking. I went to the restaurant Souk Harbor House to eat its flower-covered cuisine a few years ago and found it quite disappointing. Didn't get anything from the flowers. This was different. The flowers make the foie.
Hello, sir. A little surprise for the little woman from the little flower shoppy around the little corner. We have a special today on roses, begonias, and nightshade.
No, I want that big vase of carnations there in the window.
Ah, yes. 2 dozen of our most beautiful blooms. Just let me wrap them
up. Oh, no, don't bother. I'll eat them here.
Good gracious, sir. What is it you're doing?
Oh, well, I just couldn't face another one of my wife's bran muffin prune juice and hominy grit breakfast. So she says, if you don't like the way I cook, why don't you go out and have a carnation instant breakfast?
How do you like them?
They're a little dry.
Well, no wonder, sir. You're supposed to mix a carnation instant breakfast with milk.
What a colorful idea. Are there any other flavors?
Of course. Hollyhock, snapdragon, gladiola, cactus.
I think I'll stick with carnation.
Put the miracle additive in your day. THC. Take home carnation. Instant breakfast.
Start off your day with Carnation Instant Breakfast and shuffle off to Buffalo.
There's even a piece of French toast with the dish. How French can I get?
The funniest man in France, Paris Mack. Chapman should have been so funny. Le Figaro. It's Martin Scorsese's Jerry Lewis live on the Champs-Élysées. Yes, Lewis is back, and France has got him.
I'm Jerry with a J, parlez vous français, I'm Jerry.
Tell you what a joy and a thrill and all good stuff it is to be receiving this kind of French ego juice. How are you, Louis? My musical director, Louis LePue. Louis, this is a nice audience. This is a good audience. They make me feel good a lot. And I am a tired, tired little boy. I love you, you pussycats. Does anyone mind if I smoke? The broad in the front row with the French bread. Do you mind?
Next, warm white asparagus with Maltese sauce and crumbled hazelnuts.
Asperge blanche, servie tiède, sauce Maltese.
This was extraordinary. The goat cheese hazelnut mixture lends a genius to the already clever asparagus. I've reached the level of Chef Ray Ducasse first exposed me to in Vegas 6 years before. Much as I've always loved asparagus, I had no idea it could taste this good. The wine doesn't hurt at all. A glass of 2015 Poulinier Mont Rocher Premier Cru Le Refaire Marc Moret et Fille rounds out the vast excellence of this dish. For the protein, I'd chosen the shrimp over the pigeon, specifically the seared large langoustine with a shellfish reduction and vegetables.
Belle langoustine dorée, légumes primeur, sucre de crustacé.
Combined with a red wine this time, 2011 Pauliac Chateau au Bataillé.
Say what it is. Your buddy tucks the luck down here in hell with the word on my favorite firewater, upper middle-class wine. Now, Dick, you remember how you felt when you wheeled and dealed your way to the top of the heap, not caring whose throat got cut or whose feet you stepped on, but how about the time you drew up that petition to keep that colored family out of your exclusive all-white neighborhood? Or how about the way you bought your way out of all those traffic tickets? Remember how you felt? Proud? Maybe a little guilty, but only for a second. And super thirsty. Yeah, scamming your way to the top of the heap can help you work up a powerful thirst, and it takes a powerful wine to quench it. Upper middle-class wine, the wine that sends more people to hell than money. So be a master blaster, be the boss with the hot sauce, be an always dapper late-night rapper, and maintain your aristocratic badness, baby, down here in hell. With the bold, distinctive, aristocratic taste of upper middle-class wine. So if you like to swill and you live up on the hill, give yourself a thrill and pick up a bottle or two of upper middle-class wine, because rich or poor, it's a hell of a way to go. Upper middle-class wine, the wine that plays favorites, sold in supermarkets and country clubs everywhere.
I first had langoustines in Florence in 2002 on my last trip to Europe. I've eaten them a few times since in Vegas, Chicago, and New York. But this is the best langoustine dish ever. I'm swimming in great food here. Finally, the dessert onslaught begins with the dessert wine, 2009 Sauternes Chateau au Bergeron, and a raspberry shortbread dish with olive oil ice cream.
Fin sablé aux framboises. Glace à l'huile d'olive. I can't believe I just read olive oil ice cream.
Oh, Popeye! I'm so excited! I just passed my tennis lessons with flying colors, and I've been chosen to compete in the rolling lawn mixed doubles match this afternoon.
I am proud of you, Olives. Who's your partner? I said... Who's your partner, Olive?
You, Popeye.
Me.
They also try and serve me a crispy tower nut with chocolate from their manufacturer in Paris.
Les gros croustillants au chocolat de notre manufacture à Paris.
I avoid it, drinking only the 2002 Reef Salt Gérard Bertrand.
Nick Danger Third Eye is brought to you today by Vino Brothers.
Hey, just because you're out drinking with your friends on the stoop doesn't mean you have to be one. Step up to the many tastes of Vino Brothers wine. There's Vino White, it's dry. Add water, it's wet. Add sugar, it's a fine sherry. Add ketchup and blow in the bottle, it's a sparkling rosé. Vino Brothers, WINOBROS. Look for the bottle shaped like a paper bag.
I've been in Jules Verne for 2.5 hours, and I've had more than enough. I take some photos of the Eiffel Tower lit up at night, and declining the taxi the restaurant offers to call for me, I go back to the train station for the short ride back to Saint-Michel station. Turns out it's the last train. We are urged to hurry on board. I had no idea trains stopped running in Paris at 11:30. Seems a bit early to me, considering young children are still out and about at this time. I return to my dungeon after a miraculous meal.
I traveled by rail to Paris. I had a chance to see the famous war countryside, which bears few reminders of that grim time, 1958 to 1959. France has been the field of more wars than anyone. The French must love being raped at some level, a level about halfway up. Paris turned up at the Gare du Nord, or Northern Glare, and I was instantly disenchanted. Paris is much too like New York to be any good. No one speaks English, just like New York. He's having a wonderful, wonderful time. Seems he was at the Eiffel Waffle, and he got a chance to use his only piece of French, which is J'ai une pièce de résistance, or things are looking up. That's what he said to the driver, exhausting at one blow. There's the blow again, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
His entire knowledge of French in himself. So he's coming home.
He was talking about the resistance movement, though.
Right. Home on the Range, the resistance movement.
Mm. Right.